May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 543. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to bliss. In this way the church has trod down from Adam's day to this. Hymn 543.
Thank you. And let's read together from the Holy Word of God, the second book of Chronicles and chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. From verse 1, reading the chapter. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is in Engedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend for ever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. For tomorrow go ye down against them Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth for ever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil, it was so much. And on the 4th day they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhim. He walked in the way of Asa, his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Howbeit the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made the ships in Ezion-Geba. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodavah of Mareshah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, Because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works. And the ships were broken, that they were not able to go to Tarshish. Lord, bless to us that reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. Let us pray. O thou most merciful and long-suffering God, we come seeking the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that thou hast grant us the spirit of grace and of supplications, that in a public way, that thou hast grant that I might petition thee those things that the people here might be able to say amen to. Lord, do grant that in this world that constantly denies even thine existence, that would pull thee down from thy throne, we might, as we come into thy house, be renewed as to thy majesty, thy might, thy power, thine existence. Lord, thou hast said that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Grant us that blessing, that we might believe that thou art, and that we might diligently seek thee. Do grant us that spirit of worship this evening. Lord, we would remember the Syrophoenician woman who came and worshipped thee, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, do grant, though, that we might not forget that we come in the attitude of worship of the true and of the living God. O Lord, we are reminded of the shortness and brevity of life, also the certainty of death. We pray for those that are in bereavement at this time, and pray for the family and friends and church that meet here on Thursday, if it is thy will, to comfort each of the family. Remember, Lord, thy dear servant, Mr. Izzard, and strengthen him to be able to take that funeral service. We do commit him unto thee. Do grant, Lord, thy blessing upon the word preached on that occasion. We do see, Lord, that thou dost remember Zion. Lord, when thou dost take thy people home to provide those that follow on, we thank thee for our visiting brother here, Fenn Stanton. We commit him unto thee, and that he might be given that help and strength to continue to uphold his pastor's hands. O Lord, be with each that thou hast raised up in Zion. We think of the deacons here, our dear brother here. Bless the hymns that are given out and all the burden and concern he has for the cause. And likewise, Mr. Baker, do we be with him in his current affliction. Grant thy kind healing hand. Help him through this time. Be with him. May he feel thy presence. And Lord, may he have the benefit of the prayers and the petitions of the dear friends here. May he feel the benefit of them. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst prepare us each for the path that thou hast appointed for us. We know that there is an appointed path. We seek grace to bear what thou dost choose that path should be for us. We beg of thee that in all these things, that we might seek thee first, that thou hast granted unto us that urgent desire and prayer, that thou hast come and grant us eternal life, that thou hast caused us to hear thy voice, cause us to follow thee, and do grant what we do not deserve in any way, but that thou hast sovereignly give us those things that thou hast purchased by thy merit, by thy goodness, by thy favour. O Lord, we know that every favour, every blessing comes to us through Jesus' precious blood. We do thank thee for every temporal blessing. Lord, thou art good to all, thy tender mercies are over all thy works. And we thank thee, Lord, for the beautiful day. We thank thee when thou hast sent the rains in their season also. We thank thee for our homes, the Church of God, the brethren, and every blessing. We confess before thee that we take many things for granted until they are taken away. Bless then this congregation, the young as well as the old, and grant, Lord, that it might be here a fruitful vine, and that thy blessed presence might be known oft through the preaching of the word. We pray for dear aged friends, those here, those that are not here this evening but were this morning. We do pray for them. We do be pleased to work savingly in their hearts if thou hast not already. And do grant, Lord, that it might be well with them while life endure and well when called to die. We pray for those that are in their own homes and those in Bethesda and Pilgrim Home. O Lord, we thank thee for Bethesda. We commit unto thee the plans for the work opposite and the building work there. Lord, it is in thine hand. We commit it unto thee. We do see, Lord, there might be that provision for those in years to come when they're not able to care for themselves. O Lord, do wash and cleanse us from our sin. We pray, Lord, a right view of sin. We think of the apostle, that sin might by the law become exceeding sinful. O Lord, we confess that often we do not view sin as we should. Grant us to hate it. Grant us truly to know what it is and what its wages are. Lord, that those wages are death. And Lord, do grant unto us to view the sin-bearer, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the sufferings that thou didst bear, that thou shouldst put away sin, that rather than that it should abide with thy people, or that they should be condemned, that thou hast put it away and pay the price that was due, that thou hast made satisfaction, fulfil the law, and that thou hast then justly show kindness to those who didn't deserve it. Bless them with thy grace. O Lord, we do see then that we might see as thou dost see things, that we might see the gospel as thou dost see it and as thy blessed people see it, and some of us here that we might see what we once saw, that once so melted our hearts, softened our hard hearts, draw our affections after thee. Lord, that is, say to the churches to return to their first love. O Lord, do bless us again with those sweet visits When thy word was our chief delight, when we walked up and down it, and we found sweet pasture, Lord, cause us each to hear thy voice. Bless the word spoken this morning, and that there might be those that in due time have to come and tell the church that they have heard thy voice, and that they desire then to tell to the church of God what thou hast done for their souls. Lord, we do thank thee for that rising generation. We earnestly pray for them in their schooling, their studies, their further education, in their friendships. Lord, do be pleased to grant those wives and husbands that are from thee, and raise up, Lord, a fruitful vine, that there shall be another generations coming to the house of God. We pray for each assembly of thy people this evening, to remember my own flock at home and thy dear servant that ministers there. We do pray, Lord, for each gathering this evening, and, Lord, each church that is represented here, and, Lord, those that are unable to gather. We thank thee for the means of being able to hear the word in the home when we are unable to go out. Now, O Lord, grant us thy Holy Spirit, shine upon thy word. Do grant, Lord, that thou be with my mouth and be with the people's ears. And, Lord, lay thy word in their hearts. O send them not empty away. Do bless thy word here, and those that are spoken to in the street, Lord, do bless what we have spoken to them of, and may there be those that come in here as strangers and are brought to be dear beloved brethren. Lord, we pray for the people of Swavesey and for thy blessing upon the word of God that goes forth from this place. Now, Lord, we ask thee these things through thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 343. 343. If Jesus is ours, we have a true friend, whose goodness endures the same to the end. Our comforts may vary, our frames may decline. We cannot miscarry, our aid is divine. Hymn 343.
Thank you.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, the chapter that we read, and reading for our text, verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, part of Jehoshaphat's prayer unto God in this great trial. You know, when this trial came upon Jehoshaphat as leader of Judah, he had somewhere to go. He had a God to go to. And though he might not be over a people, he might be a husband, he might be a father, a wife, a deacon, he might have those that are under us. It's a blessed thing when trials come that affect not just us, but those round about us and those under our care, that we know where to go and take the lead. You know, I'd really encourage all of the men here. You know, you are called to be leaders. Leaders in a house. Not wait till the children or the wife or someone else takes the initiative or lead. No, when you get into trials, you take the lead. You're the one to say, now, before we go any further, we shall stop and we shall come before the Lord and we shall pray and we shall come to the Word of God. There are many wives that would long for a husband that would lead, that would take the initiative. And we need to do that. It's not easy sometimes. And some men will find it very, very hard to do so. But the Lord has given you that. He's appointed that. He's given you that position to lead in the way of worship. We have in 1 Corinthians 11, the headship. That's why the women wear their head covering, because you have the order, you have God, and then you have Christ, and you have the man, and you have the woman. And the man is the head of the woman, and Christ is the head of the man, and God is the head of Christ. There's that order. And the reason for the head covering is that that order is acknowledged in the house of God. And we read in that passage that a woman ought to have power on her head because of the angels. The angels view our assemblies. They view when we gather together. The angels viewed in the Garden of Eden. And God had given to Adam the headship. And what does Satan do? He comes to the woman and he tempts her, and instead of the woman saying, this is not my place, you go to my head, you go to Adam, and you deal with him, she deals with Satan. And she brings about the fall, and the angels saw that. They saw that first upsetting or overturning of the order of God. And when they see a woman in faith covering the head in the assemblies of the people of God, they see this woman that understands the reason why she's covering the head is actually honoring the order that God has set. Great contrast between the Garden of Eden and the fall and in the Church of God. Many would say, well, it's just a custom. It was just something of the day. No, it's not. God doesn't waste half a chapter in setting forth that order. They say, well, the actual hair is the covering. No, it's not. The Lord uses that as the example. Does not even nature teach you that if a man covereth his head or has long hair, is a shame to him. That's an example. And he's not setting that the man and the woman are not equal in the Lord. They are equal in the Lord. It's only an order. It's an order to be observed because God has set it so. How sad in so many churches that when the scripture says, suffer not a woman to teach or be in usurp authority over the man, they turn it on its head and they have the woman to teach. The turning aside of that order. Now Jehoshaphat was in the position where he was appointed leader. He had the rightful place to lead. And so I would say that to you men here, and you young men that are growing up one day be married if the Lord will, see that you take lead in your households. Ultimately, you're responsible for all that happens in that household. May we live according to the pattern of God's word. Well, Jehoshaphat knew where to go. And may that be especially the case of each man here that will know where to go. And it begins, you know, with personal religion, a personal knowledge. Jehoshaphat was a godly man himself. He had not just learned what to do, but he had been taught it by God in his heart. And yet he was not a perfect man. And we have the failing that comes in the chapters before this one, and at the end of this chapter, that one failing, he, as it were, seemed to have a charity even to the ungodly. He joined himself with Ahab. Well, what you might say, well, Judah and Benjamin, are they not the same with the 12 tribes of Israel? In one sense, they were the same, but they were not. Ahab was wicked. Israel was wicked. And so when they joined forces with the ships, then the Lord sent his servant to speak against Jehoshaphat. His failing was all the time to blur that distinction and the separation between the godly and ungodly, and to join with the ungodly. Remember that, especially if we are leaders and you're going to drag a wife or a church or someone else into a joining with the ungodly. Remember years ago, and I may get the exact facts wrong, but those of you who have read maybe 40 years in the wilderness, the history of Australian churches, one of the pastors at Melbourne, he fell in that way. He started to join with some of the churches round about. They were free will churches. They were not one in the Lord at all. And it really affected the churches there as well. We need to be very careful when we are in a leadership position. Who are we bringing our people under the influence of and leading by example? I often feel this. It's something, you know, you might question, well, why are you doing this to someone? And I say, oh, but so-and-so doesn't, he's a minister. You know, those of us in any position, we will have those that follow, those that take license, those who will walk in our way. You know, John Newton, when he was converted, one of the great sorrows was that there were so many that he had led in a path of sin and evil. They continued on in it. God in mercy stopped him and called him, but he couldn't help but thinking of those that were on a wrong path because of him. So may we be like Jehoshaphat when this great trial came, when these nations came to cast them out of their inheritance, then Jehoshaphat, he feared, he set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast. So it was a very definite, very conscious act of seeking the Lord. Now there's another thing here. Jehoshaphat knew the history of Judah and of Israel. He knew that God had given them that promised land. He knew that God had forbidden them to attack or destroy the lands of Seir and Moab and Ammon because they were descendants or related to Abraham in Lot. And he knew that. Now, when you think about this, this is going back not just a few years. You've got a lot of kings here. You're going back Jehoshaphat, you're going back to Asaph, Abijah, you're going back to Rehoboam, Solomon, David, King Saul, and then 430 years or so of Judges. You're talking hundreds of years that he's going back in the history of, and he's using his knowledge of that history to come in prayer as an argument to the Lord. Lord, you did not permit us to destroy them then, those hundreds of years before, and now they're coming to cast us out of our inheritance. They're coming to attack us now. Also, he knew and remembered back to Solomon and the dedication of the temple. Now, we know that. We know the history because we've got it written in the inspired word of God. And that was which was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through patience, comfort of the scriptures might have help. So what Jehoshaphat knew by his history book, we have his history book, and we can know it as well. And he knew of the prayer that Solomon put up and anticipating these same trials, when there should be enemies come, when they should invade in that way. And so he says that the prayer was offered up and made that if when evil cometh upon us as with the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear and help. And he puts the Lord in remembrance of that prayer. And remember when Solomon offered that prayer, the Lord answered with a cloud that filled the temple. It was a prayer that was answered. How many of us have prayers that are answered, our prayers, or maybe our forefathers, our parents, or our grandparents, or great-grandparents, that have offered up prayer, and we know the history, and we put the Lord in remembrance of what he has done in answer to prayer. And he is then putting the Lord in remembrance of this. It's a good thing that we remember the past, remember the Lord's dealings. We are to remember all the way the Lord our God hath led us. And we make that especially good use in a time of trial and affliction and like we have here. We don't just throw up our hands and in despair or just say, well, the Lord can't be our God if all of this has come upon us. The Jehoshaphat is very clear, the Lord is their God. That is why they are here. That is why they're in the land. And the Lord has shown favour to them. And these people are coming to cast them out. And so he seeks to come before the Lord in prayer. Now our text begins with these words, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? One of the great comforts of the Christian is that the Lord is judge. Is one of the things that with an atheist or one that doesn't believe in God at all he's thinking of is in this time state. That things must be put right. If there's injustices, and we're told in the word, if there is injustice in a city, no, be not surprised at the thing. There's one that regardeth it. For those that believe that this life is all, then there is no justice, there is no end putting everything right. But with God's people there is. God is over all, and all of us are coming to stand before the judgment throne. And where there is judgments, they may be wrong here below, but in the end, God will set all things right, and that he is the judge of all. And we are to remember that. It's a natural thing with us. We want to put things right. We want to set things right. But who can make that straight which God has made crooked? We cannot. And there will be those things that we are too complex, too difficult for us, just like Jehoshaphat here. But to remember that God is judge. He knows the heart. He knows exactly what is going on. He knows what the end of the matter be. And it may be in this life, but it may be in the one to come, that all is set right. And we see light in the light of eternity, what the truth is. And God will be honoured and glorified, and his people will be justified and lifted up. And so this is Jehoshaphat's comfort in this, and bring it before the Lord. Wilt thou not judge them? They are coming before us unjustly. This is our land. Thou hast given us this land. Thou did not allow us to destroy them then. And now they are coming to cast us out of this land. Now you might say, how can that relate to us? But you think of it in this way, that this is a trial. Something has been given to the people of God, and there are people coming to take that away. Now, if you think it in terms of that, the Lord says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hands. They have an inheritance, undefiled, reserved in heaven for them that are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. They are blessed with eternal realities. They are blessed with faith. They are blessed with grace. They are blessed with being put amongst the children of God. They are blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. They are given these things sovereignly and freely by the Lord. Now, it's not surprising then, when Satan sees this, when the world sees it, then they'll come and attack and try to take away, to destroy, and to cast out the people of God from their inheritance, from what has been rightly given them. And when we think of this, this is not just at the beginning. This is a long while in the history of the people of God, and right the way through the pilgrimage of the people of God, all the time there's those that seeking to destroy it. Bunyan portrays it with his Christian. Oh, he has worldly wise men. You go to the law. Bypath Meadow, that's a nice smoother path. You go in that way. And oh, there's a silver mine there. You go down and look in the silver mine. And all the time there's those who are seeking to attack, destroy, to lead out the way, pull out of the narrow way, show an easier way, show a different way. The people of God have many adversaries. Always it is so. Always it will be so. But they have a God to go to like Jehoshaphat did. Don't be at all surprised if the Lord gives you blessings, that those very blessings will be assailed. If he gives you those things of which your hope for heaven is based, and Satan will attack at that very thing and seek to undermine it. His whole aim, if he can, he'll make a Judas of you. He'll bring one to cast away his hope and to forsake the Lord and to go somewhere else. And the psalm said, there is no help for him in God. That's what is insinuated. There's no help there. It's useless to pray. You won't get help there. But Jehoshaphat, he did pray. And he did remember the mercies, the helps that had happened before. And may we remember this. You know, our Lord, when he was baptized, and it was the Spirit that led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, And partly it was to prove that he truly was greater than the first Adam, that he could stand that temptation. But part is, he goes before his people, and his people very often, after they've made profession, after baptism, when they're in the way, then they know something of Satan's temptations. Then he comes and he assails the people of God. So may we be able to come in with Jehoshaphat, may not just be in a spiritual way, but also joined with that. Remember, in one sense, this was a land that was given them. It was given them by promise. They were there by promise. And there are many things bound up with us, our houses, where we are, the country we're in. And there's many promises that are bound up with that. Many promises. And it's good to remember those when we come into trials in that place that the Lord has brought us in answer to prayer and in answer to those promises. And then we have great trials there. And the devil said, yeah, you made a mistake. You should never have come there. You should never be there. You should never be in that position. And then you think, yeah, but I am, because it was an answer to prayer. And it was a promise that God had given us that brought us there and provided for us there. And that is our stone. It's remembering what the Lord has done. Never think that because it is the Lord's way, there'll never be an adversary. Often think of the children of Israel were told 70 years accomplished in Babylon, and then they'll be brought back, and they're brought back. You think, were they brought back and immediately established, immediately everything went well? No. Immediately they had problem, and the building of the temple was stopped, and then it had to be restarted again. Immediately they had adversaries, and yet the Lord had wonderfully raised up Cyrus and brought them back. And when you get to Nehemiah's day, if you realize you're talking 78 years further on, longer than even their 70 years captivity, and there the walls are still broken down. We've gone past Esther's day, past her time, and yet they've still got all of these difficulties. And the path of the children of the people of God, in this world you shall have tribulation. And in the midst of that, they're led forth by the right way. And so, may we be a Jehoshaphat when trials come, when troubles come, when they come suddenly, that we take ourselves to our God, take ourselves to prayer, and that we trust in the Lord's judgment and Lord's dealing with us and with the matter. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Now, on to speak 3 points. Firstly, Jehoshaphat's confession. He has a two-part confession here. Firstly, that he had no might, and secondly, that he had no knowledge what to do. The second thing is Jehoshaphat's but. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And then thirdly, the Lord's answer and Jehoshaphat's response to that answer. But firstly, Jehoshaphat's confession. It is not a weak thing to confess our weakness or our inability. Jehoshaphat, he confesses that we have no might against this great company. You know, in a very way of experience, God's children prove this very painfully. They do not have might against Satan. They do not have might against their own wicked, deceitful heart. They do not have might against the wisdom and ways of this world that come against them. They feel their weakness, they feel their inability, and in a way, that is their strength. The Apostle Paul says, when I am weak, then am I strong. As soon as one thinks that they have might or strength, then they're not seeking it from God, and God will not get the honour and glory. Remember when the Midianites came in Gideon's day, Israel was strong, or seemed to be strong. They had a nice army, nothing compared with the army of the Midianites, but it was still too big for God to give them the glory, the victory, because they would take that glory to themselves. So, as you know, Gideon's army was reduced, firstly by those that were fearful and afraid, and some 22,000 or so went back. But then it was too many. So then they were tested at the waters, whether the people lapped the water or whether they picked up the water in their hands and lapped it from their hands. And the Lord divided then and made his army just 300, split into three companies of 100. And the Lord gave the victory. But Gideon was to feel their weakness. He weakened my strength in the way. That is what the Lord does and did for Gideon. And he does it for a purpose. And we are to remember that. Jehoshaphat was sensible of his weakness. It is not a good mark for a Christian to be full of self-confidence. Peter says, though all men forsake thee, yet will not I will never deny thee. But then he denied the Lord three times, and with oaths and curses. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. All of our boasting, our strength, often comes to naught. Most solemn account in the days of the martyrs, where there was two shut up waiting to be examined the next day, and with the threat of being burnt alive in the fire. And one in that prison, he was full of confidence. He would never deny his Lord. He was well. The other one was so fearful and frightened that he would, and fearful of the flames, and he spent the whole night in prayer and crying unto the Lord. And the next day when they were tortured, then the one that was full of confidence, he buckled under it, he recanted, he gave up his faith. And the other, poor one, fearful, who cried all night, he was upheld. And he died in the flames, his soul redeemed, ascending to God. The Lord helps those that feel their weakness and feel their need. And if you have those things before you, your own wicked heart, the world, Satan, temptations, and you say, I have no might, remember Jehoshaphat. You tell the Lord you've got no might. He says, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. The second confession that he had was that he did not know what to do. That is what he thought. No doubt he was thinking in a military way, what shall I do with the army? My small army against this great multitude? Will I put them in array in this way or that way? Shall we go out against them, or shall we just defend the city? What shall we do? And the thought of there was something that they should do, a way that they should act. And in one sense, it is right for us to rightfully use means, to rightly use the means that God has given us. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, then Amalek attacked them, and he attacked them in their weakest spot, in the rear of the people going out of Egypt. And you remember that Aaron went up to the mount to hold up his rod. Now Joshua was with the people and he was fighting. They were using the sword. They were using conventional weapons, if you like. But they were also using what is symbolized as prayer with Moses' rod held up. And his hands were weak, so Aaron and Hur, they held up his hands. When his hands were up, then Israel prevailed. When his hands went down, then Amalek prevailed. But we had the two going together. It's like, I think, in one of Mr. Ransbottom's books, you had two girls that were going to catch a train and they were late and they were running for the train. And one girl said, "Let us stop here and let us pray that we might get this train." The other said, "No, let us keep running and pray as we're running." And that's using both means. Often we can err in one way or another. We can say, well, we must make this a matter of prayer. And all you do is pray and it just cast common sense out the door and not use the means at all and just be praying alone. Another way, it can be leave off prayer and all our efforts on the means and forget to pray at all. The two are to be used. And in a way, Jehoshaphat here, he's coming, praying before the Lord, but he's saying, we know not what to do. If there be secondary means, we are an army. We are like, well, Hezekiah's day, later on in history, just at the time they needed a strong commander and Assyria was coming against them, Hezekiah is sick unto death. He's told to put his house in order, and he should die and not live. You think, how is that ordered? Why would not the Lord make a strong commander? But they had taken their precautions. They diverted the water course. They strengthened the walls. But they weren't relying on that. They were looking to God in prayer. We are to use means, but we are to look to God in prayer. But sometimes we can't even see what means we should use. We can't see what we can do, how we can act, and what way we can go. And in that way, I think that is what Jehoshaphat here is praying in this way. Neither know we what to do. May we be a people that often has to come before God in confession. We tell him the real state and condition of things. Yes, he already knows, but he likes to hear from his people. And we spoke this morning about hearing from him, but he likes to hear from us, to hear our voice. Let me hear thy voice. And so may part of that be even a confession. We have no mind, and we know not what to do. Well, secondly, Jehoshaphat has a but. He said, we know not what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Our eyes are upon thee. In other words, the expectation of Jehoshaphat and the people of God was upon the Lord coming to help them. Quite often in the Word we're talking about things like heart, not a literal pumping heart, but our inmost being, our reins, what actually is us, what drives us, what makes us what we are, not just what we think, but what we will do as makes us. And then our ears and our eyes. Remember when the Lord opened the eyes of the man born blind, the Pharisees said, are we blind? And the Lord said, well, because ye say ye see, then ye are blind. They thought they saw, but the Lord knew they did not see with spiritual eyes. They could not see what the man born blind, but his eyes open, could see. That why herein is a marvelous thing. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They could not see that. And so when we have Jehoshaphat, his eyes are upon thee. He's not looking at any visible thing, anything that can be seen with the natural eye, but is looking toward the Lord. You think of Daniel when he prayed three times a day, opening his windows toward Jerusalem. Well, at that time, the temple was destroyed. And being 600 miles away anyway, he couldn't see Jerusalem, but he looked towards Jerusalem, remembering this same prayer as Jehoshaphat here, that if we pray toward this place, well, it is the great type of our Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus. It is looking to what the temple set forth, is looking to what God had promised, is to looking toward this place and to what it set forth in God himself in Christ. And so we're not seeing something even like Daniel with any literal eyes, but the whole demeanor, even when with Daniel he was threatened with the lion's den, he still prayed, he was still looking in that direction. His hope was in the name of the Lord his God. That is where he was expecting it. No, he could be in our homes and we be thinking, oh, we're going to get a phone call from a brother. Are we going to get an offer of help? Are we going to have a letter with some help? And really our eyes are upon a natural means. If we've got a medical condition, our eyes can be upon the doctor's appointment coming up and the skill of the doctor and of the surgeon. And our whole being, our expectation is that our help is going to come from there. But Jehoshaphat is saying, no, our eyes are upon thee. But our eyes are upon thee. We are looking toward thee. This is where we are expecting the help to come from. That's vital. And that's a great blessing that Jehoshaphat had this, but our eyes are upon thee. And really, his confession that we know not what to do, he did know what to do because he was praying, he was seeking the Lord, and their eyes, their expectation was upon God. That was what they were supposed to do. And you can see by the answer of the Lord that it was the right thing. Where is our expectation? It can apply to so many things. You think of a young person looking for a job, applying for a job. How much is there looking to the goodness of the CV, or the qualifications, or the favour of the employer that's going to meet you, or how much is looking at the Lord to go before and to provide? For a husband, for a wife, how much is upon our own efforts or our own natural selection, as it were, or looking out a partner, or how much is looking unto the Lord to actually provide? Is a real question, isn't it? How much are our eyes in our trials and our troubles really upon the Lord? Well, Jehoshaphat's were, and so he was, confessing his weakness, and he is continuing in prayer. I want to look then at the Lord's answer and Jehoshaphat's response. It came here through the prophet. The Lord spoke to them through the prophet. Immediately in verse 14, we have then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord. It was one of the Lord's prophets, one of the Lord's servants. And the Lord spoke to Israel through him. And you know they received the word as from the Lord. How would that be with us? How would the Lord speak to us and answer in this way? Would it not be through the ministry? Would it not be through the word of God? Would it not be through his Spirit bringing us his word before us? That is where the Lord gives direction what to do. I remembered when I just 19 and got my own house on my own, lonely, longing for a wife, and looking at this one and that, and it came to the thought, well, this is foolish. This is of the Lord. You can't be looking at this and that. And I picked up my Bible and I opened it to read for the evening reading. And I read in Jeremiah, "Thou shalt not take to thee a wife, nor have sons and daughters in this place." And immediately the Lord impressed upon me, "You'll be given a wife from England." And you know that was to be 10 years waiting upon that. And also going out with another lady in the meantime. But that was not of the Lord. But the Lord's word did come to pass. I took my wife over here in Matfield. We were married. We then went back to Australia. We had 6 years over there. But part of that promise, not only take the wife, nor have sons or daughters in this place. And we were expecting our first child, the honeymoon baby. So then that place where I'd been blessed in every room in that house, instead of wanting to hold on to it and keep on to it, which naturally I would, I wanted to sell it, to move from that before our daughter was born, or our first baby was born, that promise be fulfilled. You might say you're putting your own hand to it to make sure the promise is fully fulfilled. You haven't taken a wife here, but now you're not going to have sons and daughters here. But I couldn't command a buyer. I couldn't make that place sell. And you know, we watched, we prayed, we looked to the Lord, we lowered the value down to the market to get it without giving it away. And the amount of prayers we put up to the Lord, that the Lord would appear for us. And I was taking reading services at the time. I was not in the ministry. And I was preparing those services in my study. And the Lord suddenly came in and so softened my heart and blessed my soul. And I came out to my dear wife and I said, "The place is sold." I said, "The Lord's appeared. The house is sold." We hadn't had any interest. There'd been no buyer even come near the place. That was on the Saturday. On Monday, the estate agent rings up. "We have a buyer to bring round." So you think, well, we'll make the place nice and smell nice. We'll cook some nice Anzacs and we'll have a nice smell in the house. We cooked the Anzacs, we burnt them, and we had a smell of burnt Anzacs in the house when the people came round. So much for our efforts. But you know, they came. And they put in an offer. It wasn't enough of what I felt that we should have. The estate agent said, "That's all right." He said, "I'll take the difference off my fee and you've got your sale." And you know, by Thursday, because you have the 3-day cooling off period, it was all done, it's all signed, it was all settled, it was sold and done. And you know, to me, on that Saturday, the faith the Lord gave me, I had no doubt in my mind that the house was sold. You cannot give yourself that faith. God gives it. And he works it and he does it. And we had no power to bring a buyer. We couldn't bring about. We could. It was helpless. And so we prayed and we prayed and we looked to the Lord. And we did. Yes, we were realistic in getting the round price. One day I rang up the estate agent. They're very angry with me. "How do you expect to sell if you keep the price at such a level?" And they were confusing us with a house several doors down there were some 20,000 or more than us. And when I said who we were, they said, oh, that's a different thing. That's you're realistic. And you've got to be realistic in that way. But it was looking unto the Lord, and he fulfilled that word that was 10 years before in a wife and where the child was born, and used at the same time a method to make me sell that house, which any other way, there was no way I would have departed from that house. But the Lord used it for good. And it's good to see these times when the Lord has appeared for us and where we hear his voice and his direction. Well, Judah here, they heard it through the prophet and they believed. And Jehoshaphat's work, what he did, his response was not to say, well, was that really from the Lord? Prophet, did the Lord really speak to you? Or he say, now Israel, now Judah, we'll wait and we'll see if this works out. And then if it does, and if the Lord does appear, then we'll go and thank and we'll praise the Lord. He didn't. All what he did was to encourage the people of God. No, he said to them, he bowed his head, he worshipped, and he encouraged them to believe his prophets and to be established. He says in verse 20, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Never nurture unbelief. The devil will do that. Bless the Lord if he's given you to believe on his name and to hold fast to him. It is the devil that sows doubt and unbelief and pulls the Lord down. But when the Lord has spoken in this way, and you know they went forth, not with doubt, uncertainty or waiting on the Lord, but appointing singers. They went forth praising as if the victory was already theirs. That's faith. That is the faith that God gives his dear people. And we read in verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon. As if the Lord waited, let's see what their response is. We see their praise, we see their belief. And then the Lord goes and answers, and the Lord delivers them and saves them. It's good to see faith in exercise, believing the word and the word only. You know, when we come, when we hear the word preached, it is the word that is to be believed. Remember the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man in torments. He thought, if one were to rise from the dead, then would they believe, then would my brethren believe. But the Lord said, no, they have Moses and the prophets. If they believe not them, neither will they believe if one rose from the dead. And they didn't when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. The Lord blesses the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And through the word preached, there's a word read. He raises up faith and he strengthens his people to be just like Jehoshaphat. Just like I was when the Lord blessed us with that house. It's not every time it works in that way. But it is perceiving that the Lord has answered our prayers, that he has gone before, and he will accomplish the thing. And so you see this, and you see what the Lord did, and the whole narrative is given here, how the Lord brought about the deliverance without Jehoshaphat having to do anything. You shall not need to fight in this battle. When we think of that which our Lord and Saviour accomplished at Calvary, where was man? Where was his fighting in that battle? They all forsook him and fled. That which the Lord has accomplished in the redemption of his people, in paying their debt, in causing them to be loosed from sin and from Satan and from the sentence of death. He has done that. He has fought the fight. He's done it singly. Often think of the beautiful time of, you think of the valleys there with Israel on one side and the Philistines on another and Goliath in the middle and David coming to fight. And what were the terms? That if the Philistine won, then the children of Israel would be the servants of the Philistines. If David won, then that would be a victory for all of Israel, and the Philistines would be their servants. To view the Lord Jesus, David says, I go in the name of the Lord, in the name of my God, whom thou hast defied. And all Israel saw it. And I, the Lord, said, if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto me. It's why Christ and him crucified is to be preached and lifted up and set forth, because in him we see the victory. In him we see that which was done for us. Now those here were to come and they were to see what the Lord was doing. And in a gospel sense, we see what the Lord has done. And we see it in the ordinances of God's house, in baptism, and in the Lord's Supper, what the Lord has done in his death and in his resurrection again. Ye shall not need to fight. Yes, in the walking out in the Christian pathway, it is fighting the good fight of faith. But the Lord has assured the victory for his people. It doesn't hang in uncertain balance. It is not uncertain, it is certain, because the Lord has accomplished and purchased it at Calvary. You hear his prayer in John 17, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. That is his certainty. Because I live, ye shall live also. He has gone before, he is in heaven, and he have his dear people there. And nothing shall rob him of the purchase of his precious blood. The victory is the Lord's. Well, may we be like Jehoshaphat. May we look unto the Lord, our eyes be unto him in every trial, whether it is in providence in our lives or in a spiritual battle in our souls. And may we hear through the word the victory that he has accomplished and the help that he is to give us. And may we believe it and rest in it. In me you shall have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. The peace is the Lord. So he gives to his dear people in that which he has accomplished and done. The Lord grant it to you each. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. And the funeral service for Mr. Eric Palmer will be here at 11 o'clock on Thursday, followed by interment at Finstanton. And the Oakington Friends hold their anniversary service on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 277. 277. Now I see, whate'er betide, all is well if Christ be mine. He has promised to provide, may he teach me to resign. Hymn 277.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.